This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This course was designed to get us to think a little more about the concept of an unnamed person, so a reference in the Quran to someone or to something, so that we are not always focused on just names, right? So that we're not chasing after credit or fame or thinking that a legacy necessitates being known to the people. So long as you are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your name is mentioned across the heavens by the angels and you are sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the pursuit that is most lasting. This is the pursuit that has eternal fruits and returns. And for the last 29 days, the stories that you heard of, the stories that you covered, the stories you've explored and reflected on of unnamed individuals in the Quran were, alhamdulillah, stories of benefit for all of us, stories of individuals who were righteous and good, and a few examples of people who were referenced, and they were people of evil, like Al-Walid ibn Mughira. And with all the stories that you've heard, there is one story we have not yet covered, and it is your story in the Quran. Now, what does that really entail? We know our names are not mentioned in the Quran, but the traits and the characteristics of the believers are. The traits and the characteristics of the people of Jannah are mentioned in the Quran. And eventually, one of these stories will fully manifest in terms of its beginning, its middle, and its end. Its beginning has already started. You are here and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you this opportunity. And its middle is as you depart from this world and you take your final deeds with you and your soul moves on to the next life, you're going to experience a number of things in that state of al-barzakh on the day of judgment. And then there is the end, there's the finale. The finale does not give you a chance to come back to this world and to do and to finally listen and to finally obey. Rather, the finale is a result of what you chose to do with the beginning and the middle of your story. And we hope and we pray, all of us who are here and all of us who have been attending these classes and all the Muslims around the world, that our story in the Quran, in terms of the traits and the characteristics, is the story of the people of Jannah. It's the story of the people who keep trying. It's the story of the people who are going after the most expensive thing possible, Jannah. It is the story of the believers who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here without ever seeing Him. It's the story of the believers who in this world are staying strong in times of hardship and calamity. It wasn't always easy. It's the story of those who come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere hearts. The question is, are we making this our story? Are we allowing ourselves to be a part of this story that is being referenced in the Quran? And the believers have all the experiences that they have of passing away and being welcomed into glad tidings, into a much better place by the angels. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. The story of this believer is the one who dies and the angels of mercy welcome them. Have no fear, no sadness, but the Jannah that you were promised before. Glad tidings of the Jannah you were promised before. The fast journey on the day of judgment, shade and relief, ease and protection. The hawb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the crossing over as-sirat with ease, with the light of faith, the light of iman. The area of waiting, qantara, right before entering paradise. And then entering Jannah and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turning to one another and talking to the people of Jannah, talking about the experiences you had in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. So what is the story of the believer in this world so that we can make it our story, so that we can be a part of that story? They worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. They were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. They worshipped Him without seeing Him, but they saw His signs all around and within. The believers are those whose story is referenced in this ayah in the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think you'll be admitted to paradise without being tested like those who came before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Those people who came before you, their story is being mentioned. They were afflicted with suffering, with calamities, with adversities that were so violently shaking them. So they were violently shaken, meaning in terms of their experiences and their emotions, that even the messenger and the believers with him cried out and asked, When will Allah's help come? Indeed, Allah's help is always near. Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. But they held on. That's the story. That's the story of the believers. The story of the believers is that they believe in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, هَذَا مَا تُوْعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ. This is what you were promised. For whom? For every repentant keeper. Keeper of what? Your covenant, your promise with Allah. The oft-repentant, awwab, is the one who keeps returning to God. The one who falls off the straight path, and immediately they return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this your story? That you keep repenting, that you keep trying, that you never give up, that you protect your promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you testify, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى. We all testify. Are we keeping that promise to Allah? Are you keeping your covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The story of the believers is a story in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِالْغَيْبِ, not seeing him, وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ, and they came with a repentant, softened, humbled heart. Allah says to them, enter Jannah in peace. This is the day of eternity, the day of forever, the day in which there is no day after that. So the story in the Quran that you want to make your story is that you're holding on to your submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your worship of Allah until your last breath. It is the story of racing constantly. When you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding you and telling you, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And race, race, race. Is this your story? Are you racing? Race towards forgiveness from your Lord. And a paradise as vast as the heavens and the earth, it was prepared for al-muttaqeen. The one who fasts Ramadan has taqwa. The one who prays qiyam has taqwa. The one who is doing acts of worship, regardless of whether or not people see them, has taqwa. They are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you racing to Jannah or are you racing towards something worldly? Are you really passionate about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this ayah, the maghfirah is mentioned first. The forgiveness of Allah is mentioned first. So what is your story? You look at the traits of the believers mentioned throughout the Quran, and you want to make sure, as simple as these characteristics are, that they are characteristics you are living upon. Make them your traits. Make this your life. That is how you are choosing the story that you want to see when you look back. You want the story of the people of success, the people of Jannah. Here we have eight characteristics we'll cover very quickly, inshallah. Eight characteristics mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'arij. Surah Al-Ma'arij, ayah 19. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. For those who want to follow along, you can open up Quran.com, follow along. Ayah 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Indeed, mankind was created with the potential to be impatient. This means what? There is a trait of potentially becoming impatient and rejecting the truth. And there's also the trait of accepting goodness consistently. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. That when he's touched with evil, he's distressed. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when he's touched with goodness, when Allah blesses this person, they withhold. So are we talking about someone good or bad here? No, we're talking here about some of the evil traits of people who have no patience, no morality. We're talking about the people of greed. That when they're given something difficult as a test, when they're given a difficult test, they become very distressed and distant from Allah. And that when they are given something good, they become very stingy. They hold back. They don't share with others. They don't give to the poor. They don't use their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah says there's an exception. Eight characteristics. Pay attention because you want to make sure you are amongst them and that this is your story. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Consistently performing their prayers. So there is no laziness, no love of ease and comfort, no occupation or interest that hinders them from being punctual with their prayer. The prayer here meaning on its time. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They are consistently praying their five prayers. They're not praying one prayer or two prayers and saying, oh, tomorrow I'll pray my five prayers. When I become more religious, when I have less work, when I have less responsibilities, when I have less studies, oh, I'm just a busy person. Oh, subhanAllah. There's so many examples of stories we know of people today who work some of the most difficult jobs, and they always find time to pray. It takes 5 minutes. They always find the time to pray. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved deeds to Allah, the most beloved. So you want to know, how do I become the most beloved? The most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are most consistent, even if they are few. Brothers and sisters, we are bidding farewell to Ramadan. This Ramadan will never return again. This particular Ramadan will never return again. We had our opportunity. We had our moments. You want to make sure that you are sincere to Allah in your claim, in your pursuit of being accepted, because you cannot see behind the scenes of whether or not there's full acceptance. So what do you do as a believer? You keep trying, you keep trying, you keep trying. You remain consistent long after Ramadan. The first characteristic you want to ask yourself, is this your story? Are you being consistent with your prayer? Is this your story? And if not, don't fret, don't become paralyzed with fear. Start acting today. Start intending right now that, Ya Allah, I'm going to change today. I'm going to be consistent with every prayer moving forward. Consistency in their prayers, by the way, is the very first thing Allah mentions in this passage. Next. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. And those who give a rightful share of their wealth. A rightful share of their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, to the beggar and to the poor, to the one who is prevented, to the one who is in need. So ask yourself again, is this your story? Do you have a share of your wealth that you know you're always giving for the sake of Allah, you're always giving to causes, you're always giving for those who are poor? وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and those who firmly believe in the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters, we can all say right now, we believe in the Day of Judgment. Your belief in the Day of Judgment should cause you in your actions to do something that reflects your belief. Meaning what? You should see the effect of being someone who believes in the afterlife, in the Day of Judgment, through your actions. So one scholar put it as such in the following way. The most of the evil you see people committing in the world, if not all, is because they do not truly believe in that moment that they are going to return to Allah, that they don't have a strong belief that they could die at any moment, be resurrected for accountability. It's because people are heedless and neglecting life after death. Your entire life changes when you really truly believe in the Day of Judgment, because the devil gains a victory over people who disbelieve in it or they are heedless of it. And society starts to become corrupted with heedlessness towards the Day of Judgment. Crimes increase, immorality spreads, arrogance and oppression becomes the norm, where people are now being oppressed and we have to constantly talk about social justice issues. Why? Because there are people who do not care about life after death, because there are people who are evil and greedy and arrogant and oppressive. And sometimes it's individuals and sometimes it's nation states. And there's also what? The pursuit of ad-dunya. The pursuit of this life, instant gratification, wanting, desires, what? To be the main primary mission in life. The believer is the opposite of this. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Do you believe in life after death? We say yes. Do you see it in your actions? Do you firmly see it in your actions that at any moment your afterlife could begin? So you're always preparing and building for a much better home. You're always building something greater. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, and those who fear the punishment of their Lord. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ, they know that none should feel secure from the punishment of their Lord. Brothers and sisters, these ayat right here should cause us to have the right balance. Sometimes there are Muslims who misunderstand the concept of fear. So they become paralyzed by it and everything becomes harsh and negative and fear. No, there's a right balance. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. No one should feel secure while they are alive, meaning you should keep working for the mercy of your Lord. So the believer who has a fear, مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, the story of that believer is that the fear of the punishment in the next life keeps them in this life productive. They're deterred from disobeying Allah. So fear here, the healthy fear of taqwa, is that which prevents you from disobeying Allah. The healthy fear is the type that prevents you from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you want security in the next life. In fact, in addition to that, there is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the slave of Allah will not have two fears, one in this life and in the next life. The one who has that fear that's mentioned in this ayah, Mushfiqun, ayah 27, the one who has fear of the day of judgment while they're alive here in this world, promise from Allah, you will not have fear in the next life. That day that you talk about, that frightening day, the day of judgment, when we ask people, how do you feel when you think about the day of judgment? Many people say, afraid, it's such a fearful day. It is while you're here in this world. The believers, those who are sincere, those who follow this ayah, whose story is mentioned in this verse, promise from Allah, they will not be afraid on that day. Ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. They will not be afraid on that day. And it's very important for us to have the right balance of fear, so you never lose it. You're always moving forward towards Allah and hope for His mercy. You never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're always moving forward. What drives you is the love of Allah. So now we've mentioned a number of characteristics. Keep asking yourself, every one of these traits, is this your story? Is this your story in this world that you want to see unfolding in the next life in terms of its results? Let's move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ This next characteristic, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Those who guard their chastity, except with their wives, أَوْمَا مَلَكْتَ أَيْمَانُهُمْ This was applicable back then, or those in their possession, they are free from blame, meaning what? That a person is guarding their chastity, that a person is protecting themselves. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ Okay, we're living today in a day and age in which nobody who's listening to this right now, all 135 people who are here live and those who listen to this recording later, can testify, because if you have access to the internet and to any form of media in the world today, you can testify and you can observe that in many parts of the world, in many parts of society, there are different forms of immorality that have become normalized in some places through some entertainments, through movies and TV shows, aside from just adultery and nudity, aside from the things that even lead to actions in which people are violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refusing to guard their chastity. You have, of course, the reality here that the transgressions are spreading and are increasing. And many people will look at that and say, oh, the haram is so much in our times. Focus on what is permitted. Focus on what is halal and pray to be guided to it and avoid anything that leads to the prohibition. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah to satisfy you with what is permissible. You are allowed to have a desire, but it's channeled towards something that is permissible in action. And if there's a thought, a desire itself that is not permissible, you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify your heart. So ask Him for purification and seek that which will help you get closer to the thing that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is this our story? The story of the believers, when society starts to lose its morality and its modesty, do you hold on to your modesty? Do you hold on to it? And the steps that lead to modesty, or do you allow all the doors of shaitan to open up? May Allah protect us all. The doors that lead to what? The loss of morality, the loss of modesty, the loss of certain guidelines between men and women, the loss of protecting lineage, the loss of one night stands and all of this, Allah al-Musta'an, what happens to people when they start to fall into these traps and the number of children who are killed or rather aborted before they're even born, the number of lives that are taken, the number of diseases that are spread, the number of children who don't even know their parents, the number of children born out of wedlock as well, who grew up with these struggles and it affects them and the cycle moves on and on and on. There's a lot of evil that comes from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a way to channel our desires in a healthy manner. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Is this our story? Moving on, ayah 32.
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ
The faithful are also those who are true to their trust and their covenants, their promises. You make promises. Between people, there are many promises. We don't want to be amongst those who say, yes, inshallah, and they never mean it. No. We are not, inshallah ta'ala, ever amongst the Muslims who say inshallah and don't actually mean it. No. When you offer something and promise something and commit to something, be true to that trust, be true to that covenant. When you are entrusted with something, you hold on to it. When you are keeping a promise, you are preserving it with all of your effort and your energy. When there's a secret that is told to you, you don't pass it around to other people. When you have a conversation with someone you recognize by default, I should not share anything unless they permit me to. So you're not just going around and spreading all the things that basically you have come across or heard, so that you are not amongst those who violate their trust. May Allah make us a people of trust. A note here that everyone should keep in mind. If there is no trust, if this is not an important characteristic, if people don't have objective morality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not something they think about, what happens to society or families? What happens to husband and wife if they can't even trust each other? They can't even have a covenant between or amongst one another. What happens to friends and business partners and those working for organizations or even governments, right? Trust in society is necessary. Here, there's also a trust between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ahd, your covenant, your pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is crucial that you're consistent with it and you guard it and you protect it. And sometimes that will require you to be the one who looks odd when your family starts talking about someone else or asking about something else that they should not ask about. And you say, I don't want to talk about that, or I don't really feel like talking about that, or I'm not allowed to talk about that, or this is a trust and I have to take the trust seriously, or your family starts to open up to you about something they should not be sharing with you. And you say, I don't know, are you sure they're okay with you sharing this with me? Are you sure they permitted you to share this with me? That you are always having a high standard of trust, especially when society starts to lose it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Allahumma ameen. Again, is this your story? Next characteristic. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. And those who are honest in their testimony. Well, when you testify to something, that you're speaking the truth, so you're not concealing evidence, you're not changing something for selfish motives, even if it's against yourself or your family, you are required to be a person of justice. Be a person of justice, regardless of who is on the other side. Is this your story? Or do you find yourself emotionally reacting to situations and siding with people based on the notion of loyalty? Or are you somebody who is constantly going back to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then finally, the last characteristic here. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And those who are properly observant of their prayers. يُحَافِظُونَ. They protect their prayers. What does this mean? The very first characteristic in this passage, trait number one, what was it? Trait number one was about prayer, consistency in prayer. The very last trait that's mentioned here that you want to make sure is part of your story. You have consistency and now you have protection of your prayer. What does that mean to protect it? يُحَافِظُونَ. It's not just protecting it in terms of the time of the day, protecting in terms of consistency. That was mentioned already. Now here you're protecting it in terms of what? The actual content of the salah, the khushu' in salah. That you are being mindful in prayer, mindful prayer. That's something that you want, inshallah ta'ala. Plug right there for the course, whoever wants, inshallah. That you are protecting your salah. You are protecting your salah. You are protecting your salah. Two of the eight characteristics mentioned here about the righteous, about the believers, have to do with the prayer, which tells you about the value of salah, which tells you about how important prayer is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent and allow us to protect our prayers. Guard your salah. Guard your salah. You were created for it. You were created to pray to Allah. You were created to call upon Allah through the salah. So yes, be consistent, but don't rush. Sometimes a Muslim will say, Alhamdulillah, at least I'm praying my five prayers. Alhamdulillah. Next step forward. Are you fulfilling this characteristic? Characteristic number 8, ayah number 34. Yes, you are consistent. Alhamdulillah. Now move forward. You want to make sure every prayer that you're praying, you're not rushing out of it. Why are you running away from Allah? What are you running back to? Are you running back to a dunya which will leave and will depart, will not follow you to the grave? And Allah is ever living, al-hayyu al-qayyum, waiting for you to turn to Him. Is that really a respectful thing to do when you're praying, to rush away from Allah? Some people, mashallah, are so respectful when it comes to job interviews, when it comes to meeting someone for the very first time. So many people, when they're meeting, let's say, an interviewer, they're sitting there polite, they're dressed a certain way, they're kind, they're casual, they're cool, they're professional, they're attentive, that's for sure. They're not distracted. Imagine you're in a job interview and you're like, yeah, I'm really interested in this job. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, how much are you offering me? Ah, that's not enough. What? Nobody would do that. La ilaha illallah, Allahu musta'an. And yet that's what some people do with salah. And much worse than that. That's not for a few minutes. It's the entire prayer. Brothers and sisters, one of the best advices the Prophet ﷺ gave to a man who came and asked for nasiha. When you stand to pray, فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعٍ. Pray as though you are bidding farewell. Pray as though this is your farewell salah. This is our farewell session here for Ramadan 360. For many people, it is our farewell moment in Ramadan. Some of you are ahead of us in time. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. How did you pray your last tarawih? How do you pray your last qiyam? When people are doing tawaf for hajj, what are they doing? The very last thing you have to do before you leave Mecca, tawaf al-wada', farewell. And I assure you, almost every single year I've gone with my groups, people are telling us the same exact thing, that because it's the last one, because it's the last farewell tawaf, now I'm putting all my heart into it. Ya Allah, accept. Ya Allah, accept. Ya Allah, accept. The day of Arafah, last moments, what are people saying? Ya Allah, accept my dua. Ya Allah, accept my dua. Ya Allah, accept my dua. Are you the same with your salah? Everyone who died before you, every brother and sister who passed away before us had a final salah. Did they know it was their final prayer? And if they did, would they have prayed with more khushu'? Don't live upon a habit that you'll regret when you die. Do not live upon a habit that you'll regret when you die. Do not live upon a habit that you'll regret when you die. If there's something you don't want to see in your record on the day of judgment, then abandon it today. Have it erased today by turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you stand, when you start that salah, remind yourself, I'm speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is speaking to me. Allah is responding to me. I'm making dua to Allah. I was created for this. So let me give it its full right. Protect the salah. You will take so much delight out of it. May Allah bless and reward all of our brothers and sisters around the world with the ability to have khushu' in salah. Allahumma ameen. Of course, brothers and sisters, when you have children running around and you have distractions in the masjid and so on and so forth, it's not always going to be easy. So the command here will be what? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to your greatest capacity. Be mindful of Allah as much as you can. You'll get used to eventually to try to focus within your capacity, inshallah ta'ala, and you'll still have the noise and the distractions around. Allahumma musta'an. So 8 characteristics mentioned here. The first and the last of these 8 are about prayer. It is the first thing you'll be asked about on the day of judgment. It will determine how much shield and a protection you'll have on that day. As-salah is one of the last things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us about, told his ummah about the prayer. Is this your story? Is this your story? Are you protecting your salah in terms of its khushu'? Are you protecting it in terms of mindfulness, consciousness, attentiveness to Allah, to the dua that you make? If you feel, you know, this is an interesting cycle. If you feel like you're not getting anything out of your prayer, so you're just, you know, finishing a burden or checking off something, you feel like, I have to pray, just get it out of the way. It's because you're rushing out of salah. If you want to enjoy the salah, give it its right, you'll start to look forward to it. It may take some time to force the nafs that wants to rush back to other things. It may take some time, but you are in control. You are in charge of your nafs. Don't let your nafs control your salah. You are in charge of your salah and you control your nafs. 8 characteristics, brothers and sisters. If we fulfill these 8 characteristics, and I'll mention them very quickly, inshallah ta'ala. Number 1, consistency in performing prayers. Number 2, giving a rightful share of your wealth, meaning you're always giving in charity. Number 3, you firmly believe in the day of judgment, so it shows in your actions, the way you treat your parents, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, Muslims, non-Muslims, you believe you could die any moment. The way you treat your acts of worship, the rights between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you firmly believe in the day of judgment. Number 4, to have a fear of the punishment of the day of judgment. And so when you have that fear, it is a healthy type of fear, prevents you from having fear while you're standing on the day of judgment. Number 5 is to guard one's chastity in a time and a day and age like this, when all morality is out the window. Modesty is gone in many of the things that are produced today. And there is an objective from people like that to try to take away modesty from those who are still holding on to it, to try to desensitize Muslims, to lose slowly different elements of haya until there's nothing left in society of haya. May Allah protect us all. Allahumma ameen. Number 6, those who are true to their trusts and their covenants. Be truthful, be trustworthy, be honest. Number 7, in your testimony. And finally, number 8, to properly observe and protect your salah. Protect the thing that's precious to you. Imagine standing on the day of judgment and your salah comes in the form of, let's say, a man, or in the form of shade, or in the form of protection or light. Your salah comes to protect you. Your salah comes to you, but it's a very weak, feeble, fragile person. And you're like, why can't you protect me more? Well, you didn't protect your salah. You didn't take care of your salah in this world. How do you expect it to be a guard for you in the next life? by protecting your prayer in this world, you are guaranteeing and protecting the quality of your shield on the Day of Judgment. For the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who guards his prayer in this world, meaning the obligatory prayers, has a guarantee to be protected in the next life. And the one who does not guard their prayer in this world, his or her prayer in this world, does not have a guarantee in the next life. You want that guarantee? You want that shield? You want a quality shield, inshallah ta'ala. Guard your salah now so that it will guard you later. Guard your prayer in this world, it will guard you in the next life by the will and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this your story? These eight characteristics? Do you find yourself looking at these eight and saying, you know what? Every single one of these, I have mastered, alhamdulillah, 10 out of 10. If there is a gap, if there's a need to improve in any of these, then work towards that, inshallah ta'ala. Give yourself a rating, a grade for yourself, inshallah ta'ala. Give yourself some kind of grade and tell yourself, inshallah ta'ala, I have a journey, but I'm working towards it and I'm consistent. And that's the most important thing. You may not have a 5 or a 6 or 7 or even a 10 in any of these. You might even be at level 2 or 3 in some of these. You have to start somewhere, right? You have to take the first step to climb that staircase, to climb that ladder, to climb that mountain. You can't just jump to level 10. So start where you are. Start with your journey, inshallah ta'ala, today. Ramadan is ending, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living. Ramadan is departing, but Allah is the Lord of all time, the creator of time, the Lord of all months. So we want to continue, regardless of where you are in your journey, be consistent in growth. Be consistent in becoming closer to Allah month after month and year after year, so that inshallah ta'ala, if you are given life to next Ramadan, if you have life next Ramadan by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we look back and say, I grew in the last year. I learned in the last year. I became more consistent in the last year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that consistency. Okay, here's the beautiful part of the story. Eight characteristics with details, and that is a story that requires a lot of effort, maybe for 70 years, 100 years, 20 years, depending on how much life someone was given. And then the end result. What is it? Ulaika fi jannatin mukramun. They will be honored with various types of pleasures and delights. They are going to be honored in paradise, in the gardens of Jannah. That's it. This one ayah summarizes the entire finale of that story. Eight characteristics, Jannah forever. Hard work in this life, Jannah forever. Striving and never giving up. Keep trying, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah forever. Wallahi, it's worth it for us to be patient and to work hard for 1,000 years just to enter Jannah for 1 hour. One step into Jannah erases a lifetime of memories of pain and struggles and hardships. What about an eternity of returns? Eight characteristics. Allah promises you Jannah forever. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone entering Jannah and looking back and saying, you know what? The story that I had in the dunya of these eight characteristics, and I was attending Ramadan 360, and I was consistent with my siyam and protecting my salah and giving charity all the time. I regret it. I regret working hard for paradise. Can you imagine someone saying that? Of course not. If there could be a regret, it would be that we did not do more. It would be that we didn't reach a higher level of Jannah. It would be that we didn't try harder out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, all these things that we're doing, for us to remain, inshallah ta'ala, motivated and consistent long after Ramadan, we want to think about the notion of qabul, qabul is like acceptance. We want to know, ya Allah, did you accept this from me? Was my Ramadan accepted? You worship Iman and Muhtisab and you hope for the reward. You can't lose that hope. How do you channel this feeling, this bittersweet feeling of Ramadan departing for the rest of the year? We'll do this with one story, inshallah ta'ala. One story, inshallah ta'ala. One story, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. It is that you continue to race to do good because you don't know that it's accepted. So At-Tirmidhi reports the story of Aisha radiallahu anha. She asks about a specific ayah of the Quran that describes the believers, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And those who, whatever good that they do it with their hearts fearful, knowing that they will return to their Lord. So people are doing good deeds mentioned in this ayah, but their hearts are in fear, wajila, knowing they're going to return to Allah. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are these people who drink alcohol and steal, meaning are these people who commit major sins mentioned here, that they're afraid Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, O daughter of a Siddiq, ولكنهم الذين يصومون ويصلون ويتصدقون وهم يخافون ألا يقبل منهم. They are the ones who fast and pray and give in charity, but they fear that their deeds will not be accepted from them. What's the end result? How do they channel that emotion and that fear? أولئك الذين يسارعون في الخيرات. This is mentioned in the hadith. What's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم quoting? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون. أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون. They're the ones who race to do good deeds, always taking the lead, always excelling beyond others, fasting after Ramadan, fasting in Shawwal, remaining consistent. You know, a lot of people ask me this question. Why do I feel, they ask, why do we feel in Ramadan this sweetness? We feel like we can do more. We feel so motivated. One of the main reasons that many people overlook, it's not only because you're praying more. You can pray more throughout the year and you will feel better about it, inshallah ta'ala. It is because, yes, you are fasting as well. It's because you're giving charity, alhamdulillah. But one of the main reasons people overlook is that they are listening to more reminders, classes, programs, absolutely, community, that they're connected with others in the ummah. And so it is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about this, that Ramadan is limited to 1 month of the year, rather than being told, you can choose any other time of the year to fast your 30 days. So everyone's fasting whenever they want. Can you imagine everyone's fasting the Ramadan 30 days that they owe any time that they want? No, it is from the mercy of Allah that the entire ummah has to fast at the same time. It's a designated time. It's a designated time. Why? There's a benefit in the collective. There's a benefit in worshiping together. There's a benefit in fasting, knowing that the rest of the ummah is fasting, or at least the rest of the ummah is experiencing Ramadan, praying qiyam, breaking fast together, giving more charity. It is from the blessing of Allah that it's all limited to this 1 month, alhamdulillah. So you want to make sure long after Ramadan, there is some element of concern. So you're asking, Ya Allah, accept my Ramadan, and I will remain consistent with the collective, with the things that brought me to the community, with the things that kept me consistent in learning. Most people underestimate the amount of benefit they take from knowledge in Ramadan. It's because you're listening to more reminders. And when the reminder hits your heart, what do? You tend to feel more motivated. You tend to do more. You tend to feel better. You tend to taste the sweetness of Iman during that moment. Knowledge is light. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is crucial. Knowledge is a shield. We are in need of constantly connecting with one another long after Ramadan departs, so that we continue getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him for acceptance. And there are so many ways to do that. Of course, this is our finale here. This is the final session for Ramadan 360. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, that we were able to gather for it with so many remarkable brothers and sisters all around the world tuning in. So many of you who are consistent, so many of you who made, alhamdulillah, friendships and brotherhood and sisterhood, so many people interacting, so many people with their, mashallah, sense of humor displayed to everyone else, alhamdulillah. So many awesome engagements, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless our entire ummah and accept from all of us. While Ramadan 360 is going to end today for 2022, the classes that we have, the programs that are offered, the collective that we have, the community that is there, alhamdulillah, does not end. Your local community does not end. Your seeking of knowledge online also does not end. There's a lot more to come, inshallah ta'ala. So keep moving forward, seeking knowledge, asking Allah for blessings, asking Allah for acceptance, and remembering that the dua that you make is crucial to your journey, to your story. Brothers and sisters, is this your story? Is this the story of someone looking back on the day of judgment at their life in a dunya and saying, you know what? With everything that we experienced, I attended classes, I attended programs, I stayed connected to brothers and sisters whose faces you've never seen and you will not see maybe until the day of judgment. And as you're thinking about your story, you're looking at all the characteristics that you had. And you want to make sure, inshallah ta'ala, that you're living this story you're making. You're forming the story by the mercy of Allah, by the will of Allah, that you're choosing where your adventure goes, right? Choose your own adventure, go for it. Choose the adventure that leads to Jannah. Choose the adventure that leads to the pleasure of Allah. Choose the adventure that protects your prayer, so your prayer will protect you in the next life by the mercy and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose knowledge. Beneficial knowledge will make your path to Jannah, your story to Jannah much easier, your adventure to paradise much easier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that. And there are many ways to do that. And many brothers and sisters are constantly asking, what are we going to do when Ramadan 360 ends? How can we stay connected as a community long after Ramadan? There are so many opportunities with the Maghrib Institute, alhamdulillah, so many classes that are being offered, so many classes that are coming up. You have so many different programs and platforms, alhamdulillah, you can benefit from. Specifically, since, of course, here we are at the Maghrib Institute, I can say that, alhamdulillah, we have a number of programs coming up this year. Aside from the ones that are continuing, there is, yes, Jazakumullah Khairan, Faith Essentials, there's Quran Revolution. We've seen brothers and sisters enter Quran Revolution, and then in the second, third, fourth level, mashallah, it's like complete progress, alhamdulillah. Yes, we will all miss being here as well. We have a number of courses coming up. So if you can, inshallah ta'ala, take advantage of the different programs, it will benefit you. One of the best ways to do that, and Jazakumullah Khairan Tanzila as well. Another opportunity is the All Access Pass. The All Access Pass, from what I understand, you basically have access to the courses that will be released for the next year, basically until next Ramadan, and we meet for Ramadan 360. Take all the classes that you can, inshallah ta'ala. And in a sense, this will force us, inshallah ta'ala, as students of knowledge, it forces us when we sign up for something like this, an All Access Pass, and you invest in your akhirah, you're investing in something like this. What are you really doing? You're investing in something that will force you, pressure you, because you put in the time, you put in the money. So now you say, what? I want to continue, inshallah ta'ala, by taking these classes. Take the courses. We've seen people change throughout these classes, alhamdulillah, and grow and learn and benefit from all walks of life and all across the world, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and accept from you and reward you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are consistently seeking beneficial knowledge. Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. What I'm going to be doing, inshallah ta'ala, I will be handing the virtual mic back to Sister Hafsa, jazakumullah khairan. And then I will actually have to continue with Quran reflections after this. So I am doing the final Quran reflection session with a closing dua, bidding farewell to Ramadan and asking Allah for acceptance for all of us and our brothers and sisters around the world. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Sulaiman Hani. Inshallah, we'll give him about a 5-minute break, or not even, a little less than that, inshallah, just so that you guys can take a breather as well. And subhanAllah, that was such a beautiful way to bring us back and to tie in lessons learned from this past Ramadan. Inshallah, I'm really looking forward to the dua. I'm not sure if you guys have kept up with Sheikh Sulaiman's du'as through Yaqeen, but mashallah, they are an unforgettable experience in Ramadan. So I'm glad that you guys will get a chance to experience it as we close off Ramadan 360. Just a couple of reminders, mashallah, Sheikh Sulaiman referenced a lot of different elements of the Maghrib community. We can't even list them all because subhanAllah, we lose count. Even those in the staff, we're like, did we do that? Oh, we did that. And we have subhanAllah, sometimes 20 at one month. I remember last year we had 90 projects happening at the same time that we were all 90, not 19, that we were all working on. An app here, some development here, some improvement here, alhamdulillah. And it's the community here that benefits, that joins, that shares, that shows that enthusiasm, that, you know, subscribes to the YouTube channel, that does every little bit that they can to show us that they're benefiting from the content that keeps us going. Of course, first it's with the willow and the help and the support and the mercy of Allah. And then it's you guys, alhamdulillah. We wouldn't be here 20 years later. This year is going to be Al-Maghrib's 20-year anniversary as an organization, starting off just in basements and in small little gatherings, just learning classes in person, and then developing as we did, and you guys have heard, through Al-Maghrib Productions with online classes and virtual live classes since COVID began, and then Faith Essentials. And then last year, we launched the All Access Pass community. This year we launched Ilm Spring, and alhamdulillah, we just keep going and going and going to make sure whatever little aspect of the community, wherever there's a need, we can fulfill. So I want to thank you guys, especially those of you who joined and who were here present, those who supported the almaghrib.org/productions campaign, which is still open. If you guys want to squeeze in some last few rewards, it's still, the link someone can inshallah drop in the chat is still open, inshallah, for those who want to support. And then I do want to remind you guys, because it's something that it always ends up being one of the hidden gems of the Almaghrib community, and Sheikh Sulaiman did mention it as well, the All Access Pass. If you guys are looking for something that will take your Islamic knowledge journey to the next level and will just unlock every single opportunity, every single bit of confusion or a question that you want answered, every single bit of access that you may not be able to have to your local scholars, alhamdulillah, that pass is the be-all, end-all, and it's the ultimate kind of VIP experience within the Maghrib community. So I highly recommend, if you guys have not yet already, or if you've not heard of it, or you didn't have a chance to check it out, especially as Ramadan is closing and you're trying to keep this motivation going for the rest of the year and make sure that all the good things that you built throughout this month, all the things that you learn, it's like a snowball and you continue it, inshallah, I highly encourage you guys to join the community. community. There were many students that joined us for last Ramadan 360 who had never come across Al Maghrib before. And it was their first time and they were like super motivated and they joined the All Access Pass. And now, mashallah, they're like the, you know, the cornerstones of every Al Maghrib class. Like we worry when someone's not present, you know, because we know that every time they're going to be there with their cameras on, like, you know, Sister Gina's, you know, others, mashallah, who are always on screen, Sister Suri, not that they're All Access Pass members, but that they're so present, that they're so integrated into the community, mashallah. So yeah, alhamdulillah, it's well worth it. I hope that you guys take an opportunity and join it and make that intention that you're going to continue this journey, inshallah, for the rest of the year and then come back into the next Ramadan being a completely different person that you came into this Ramadan for. So jazakallah khair for being with us, alhamdulillah, for this journey. Make sure that you do join us. And if not for the past, then make sure that you're keeping up with the rest of the classes, but this is your best opportunity to be able to kind of maximize every little bit of access that you can, inshallah, throughout the year. And yes, jazakallah khair, we know, subhanAllah, I myself as a staff member, I'm just kind of like, you know, one little cog, tiny portion of in this big machine of Al Maghrib that keeps going. SubhanAllah, there's staff members who, you know, have so many sleepless nights. You go through so much struggle just to make sure that they can make these programs available to you guys within a timely manner, that the page is ready and the checkout is ready and this thing is working and this link is working and this chick, you know, makes a video. And SubhanAllah, they do so much behind the scenes. So I encourage you guys, please do keep them all in your eyes, because I feel guilty sometimes being the face of and getting all this praise and all this, you know, thanks, when subhanAllah, there's a couple dozen people, mashallah, who make these experiences possible and who give up so much of their own life and their own ibadah to make sure that yours is improved and that you have access to the knowledge in the way that will benefit you the most. So may Allah accept from all of us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Sheikh, I want to pass it back to you so that we don't miss any bit of Quran Reflect and that we get a nice juicy dua, inshallah, at the end of this session. So bismillah, Sheikh, let's jump into our final Quranic Reflect session.
جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all the students, all the staff, all the volunteers, all of our brothers and sisters who facilitate goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you. Allahumma ameen. These are really important times that we are in which people are in need of being connected to something that keeps them close to community, the jama'ah, especially in this virtual time that we are in which everything is emphasized virtually, subhanAllah. And people are cut off physically. Sometimes people don't even have a local masjid, a local community, local friends. And they made better friends, subhanAllah, online than in person. Meaning they're able to find good companionship online, alhamdulillah. In some of our programs, like the Tarbiyah program, we had many brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, form like bonds, brotherhood and sisterhood. It's an ongoing weekly program with a mentor and a set number of students per class. You'll hear more about it soon, inshallah ta'ala, as we reopen the first level again. And we have amazing students coming in from all over the world for all of these programs, the Ramadan 360, All Access Pass Community, Faith Essentials, alhamdulillah. So whatever you can commit to from now for the next year, so it'll help you in between Ramadan to Ramadan, do so inshallah ta'ala. And from the feedback that I've heard from many students, many of you here as well, it has been the All Access Pass, because it kind of pressures you to join all these classes, communicate with different students and instructors, learn about different areas of Islam. So keep up the great work, mashallah. May Allah bless you all and reward you. Allahumma ameen. Quran Reflections, this is the first session that I'm doing, and it is the last session of the program, alhamdulillah. I actually, I requested this session, and I was, alhamdulillah, given permission from the instructor who had this before me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her. She switched with me. It was Ustada Taymiyyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. I wanted the last session so that I could close off the program, and also so we could have a closing dua, inshallah ta'ala. Farewell dua, bidnillahi ta'ala. And I want us to turn to Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7. And the passage that we are going to be covering, I'm going to be asking you a number of questions, inshallah ta'ala, as we cover it, is from verse 43 onwards, 43 to approximately 53, inshallah. Verse 43 of Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 43. Surah 7, verse 43. And we will be, inshallah ta'ala, utilizing all the different skills you learn throughout Ramadan in this particular program to reflect, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can take that final demonstration, the final push of tadabbur, and continue with it long after Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So let's go ahead and get started with ayah 43, inshallah ta'ala. One of the most uplifting and powerful verses of the Quran. Imagine, let's continue with the theme, imagine this is your story. This is your story. This is your story by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So work for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل تجري من تحتهم الأنهار وقالوا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق ونودوا أن تلكم الجنة أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Jannah in terms of their story, we will remove any bitterness that they may have had in their hearts. So the heart is purified when people enter Jannah. No negative feelings, no grudges, no jealousy, no envy, no pain, no anxiety, no shame, no guilt, no negative feeling whatsoever. Rivers will flow beneath their feet and they will say, Alhamdulillah, for what? Can you imagine this is your story, entering Jannah? And you're looking at the rivers next to your palace and your mansion. And then you think, I wouldn't have been here if it weren't for Allah. And so then you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana. Praise be to the one who guided us to this. Without him, we would not have been guided. The messengers of our Lord certainly came with the truth. What is the truth here? The message about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about life after death, about the hereafter, about paradise. And then it will be announced to the people of Jannah, this is the paradise that is awarded to you for what you used to do. Urithtumuha. Urithtumuha bima kuntum ta'amalun. Okay, in this ayah 43, I'm actually going to start off by asking a very general question. General reflections using the principles of tadabbur that you started with. I have gone through many of the sessions that you guys had, alhamdulillah, with Sheikh Sa'ad, with Ustad Taymiyyah, with Dr. Muhannad, with Sheikh Waleed as well, and I have seen the interactions, alhamdulillah. Let's start off by seeing what we can implement generically from any of the principles of tadabbur that you covered in this ayah right here. We'll open it up, inshallah ta'ala, in a very general way, and then we'll start to hone in on specifics, bi'idhnillah. What do you see in this verse that causes you to think about something specific? Make it personal. Okay. Make it personal to you, absolutely. Which is perfect for the theme that we just covered in the last session, alhamdulillah, right? It's your story. Make it personal to you. Excellent. In what sense? What else can we do, inshallah ta'ala? Feel free to raise your virtual hand. Feel free to chat, inshallah ta'ala, or unmute yourselves. What else? Virtual Jannah. Okay. Guidance. Okay. Let's hone in on guidance. Thankful for being guided. Our story will be successful because we follow the Prophet's teaching. Excellent. Negative feelings we have are erased. Okay. So several of you have answered with wonderful and diverse reflections. Let's hone in on one specific thing right now, inshallah ta'ala. Farhiya from, I think that's Minnesota, you commented negative feelings we have are erased. How can we take that part of the reward of the people of Jannah and benefit from it in a practical sense today? That the people of Jannah enter Jannah, and it's impossible for them now to feel anything ill or negative. Okay, Adam says, all of this anger I feel for people who have wronged me will flow off of me like a flowing river. Excellent. Dr. Gina says that we would have been unable to guide ourselves, but we are guided. Alhamdulillah. Wonderful. Excellent. Forgive those who harmed us. Okay, freedom. Excellent. Let go of anger and obey Allah. Wonderful. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Serenity, tranquility. So think about this. If one of the traits of the believers in Jannah is that they are not able to have negative feelings, and specifically here it's mentioned ghil. Ghil is not just a negative feeling. So I gave a general discussion or description of the people of Jannah in terms of their hearts. We want to, in this world, focus on removing bitterness from our hearts. Remove bitterness from the heart. Remove bitterness from the heart while you're here and now. In fact, I think you all know the famous story of the man, the Prophet ﷺ said about him, he's a man of Jannah. Every day walks into the masjid, man of Jannah, Ibn Abbas, one of the companions, I believe is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, wanted to find out, what is this man doing? Why is he a man of Jannah? So he stayed with him, you know the story, stayed with him for 3 days and nights. He tried to observe, what's this man doing? What did the man do every day? What was it? He was emptying his heart of grudges. He has no grudges in his heart towards others. Can you imagine, because you're working on purifying your heart in this world, you're purifying your heart in this world towards everyone else, that this is describing now the state of the believers entering Jannah. There's a link between the two. In fact, if you look here, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ, basically the rivers will flow near them, beneath their palaces and mansions, meaning all around them they'll have the rewards of Jannah. There's a purification that is symbolized here with anhar and with water in general, the concept of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of reward. This is the specific reward mentioned here. Did anyone ever read this ayah and wonder why it starts off with the removal of bitterness in their hearts, and then the only reward of Jannah mentioned here is the rivers flowing beneath their feet? And then immediately what? They're talking about how they are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being guided to the truth. Why is it the rivers here? تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ. There's a cleansing. There's a purification, right? You want to purify your heart in this world. Brothers and sisters, you can't enter the month of Ramadan with grudges in your heart for somebody else and leave this month holding on to such grudges, holding on to bitterness. If not for them, for your own sake, forgive. For your own sake, purify your heart. Purify your heart, purify your heart. And you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to like completely encompass you with mercy and forgiveness. It's going to require us to extend beyond our comfort zone sometimes. People of the past who may have hurt us or harmed us, and they're gone now. They moved on or something happened. For your own sake, try to move on. Try to be purified in this world before experiencing the purification of Jannah. There's also a condition here. What is the condition? So here's Tadabbur principle. Let's act upon it. Inshallah ta'ala, what is the conditional principle mentioned in this ayah? What is the condition? Excellent comments and feedback, mashallah. And Sam, excellent. Yes, when you enter Jannah, you go through a process of purification. Being guided. Okay. That's a very good guess. Sabir. We need a specific verbatim here, the specific phrases. I'm looking for a specific answer. Trivia question, huh? No more trivia nights, subhanAllah. We'll announce the trivia, inshallah ta'ala, in advance. The question is, what is the condition that's mentioned in this ayah? There is a condition. So those are descriptions. Those are correct answers. Okay, if Allah had not guided us, we would not be guided. Excellent. And yes, tanzila, jazakum khairan. Bima kuntum ta'malun. For what you used to do. This is the Jannah that you were awarded. What is the condition? That you did such and such and such for what you used to do. لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ is a description. Our messengers came with a message of truth is a description. Following the guidance is a description. Knowing that you could not be guided without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is important. And the last part of the ayah as well, Jannah is promised to you. You inherit paradise for what you used to do. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Okay. What is a means of taking this ayah in a personal way, making it relatable to you and living upon it? General question here. What's a reflection you can take from this that you can implement, aside from purifying our hearts towards other people, inshallah? And for anyone who wants to unmute themselves, feel free to do so, inshallah ta'ala. You have both options. Or raise your virtual hand. Is that an option? Okay, raise a virtual hand when you want, inshallah, or type in the comments below. What's one thing you can take for your life from this? Seeking Allah's guidance all the time. Excellent. So every day you're saying, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. You're asking for reinforcement of guidance, right? Praise to Allah who guides us. Thanking Allah for guidance as well, being grateful for it in this life before the next life. Implement what is commanded while you're here and now. And the condition with the response is that there is a Jannah waiting for you. Following the guidance of the prophets. Excellent. MashaAllah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. It's only through Him we can be guided. Excellent. And in addition to this, many people who abandon Islam, many scholars say those individuals were not grateful for it. Here, the believers are saying Alhamdulillah and recognizing the reality that we are in need of Allah's guidance. We are in need. Allah is not in need of us. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with humility, we thank Him. In this life, before the next life, we thank Him for being guided to Islam. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. Excellent responses, mashallah. Acknowledging that Allah guides whom He wills, Allah's fulfillment of His promise to us. Excellent, excellent. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide my heart to His guidance, so I'll beg Him constantly to keep me guided. Excellent. Allah guides whom He wills. We are blessed to be part of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Excellent. Okay, now this entire next passage, if you are using a physical mushaf, And you're not just using, let's say, something digital like Quran.com. You're seeing the pages, the Madani Mus'haf print. Then this entire next page is a series of conversations. And I want us to reflect on these, inshallah ta'ala, with the limited time that we have. I want us to reflect on these so we can take different elements, inshallah ta'ala, of tadabbur and implement them, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Look at ayah 44, for example, the very next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first tells us about the people of Jannah entering Jannah, inheriting paradise. And right after that,
وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ اللَّعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ.
The residents of paradise will call out to the residents of the hellfire. And they will say, we've certainly found our Lord's promise to be true. Have you found your Lord's promise to be true? They will respond, yes, we have. And then a caller will announce to both of them, may Allah's condemnation be amongst or upon the wrongdoers of Dhalimeen. Who are the wrongdoers, the oppressors? They're the ones who basically oppress themselves. Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, Uthman, you beat us to it. This is a question that's not asked looking for facts, because the people of Jannah are in paradise. In a way, it is kind of like pushing that button and saying, look, you made fun of us in the dunya. You mocked us, attacked us, oppressed us, killed many of us, made us think that there is no afterlife, made some of us doubt as well. And now Allah's promise is true. Now we are here in Jannah. Did you find your promise to be true, the promise of your deities or your desires or your nafs? Did you find that promise to be true in the hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us, اللعنة الله على الظالمين, those who oppress themselves, have chosen to oppress themselves. This is an oppression that they've chosen in this world. And yet, ironically, they're talking about oppression in society and social justice issues and many other things. And they're not looking at the oppression that they are causing to themselves. What can we take from this that is relevant to us today? We can link 43 and 44, and there's something practical we can take, inshallah ta'ala. These are similar verses that are coming up. What's something relevant? How do you personalize this? Okay, steadfastness in truth. Don't allow people to shake you. Don't allow people to mock you and make you lose your faith. In fact, this is how some Muslims lose their Islam over time. They start to have an inferiority complex, right? They go online, they go to forums, they go to different subreddits, they go to here and there, and they see everyone talking about religion the same way, mocking it, attacking it. Oh, it's backwards. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, you believe in that. Oh, you're believing in something for 1400 years ago. They'll come up with the most ridiculous arguments to make Muslims wonder and doubt, because they themselves are uncertain. They are unsure, right? There's a promise of Allah here. To understand the religion as it is, excellent. Proves that they heard the message of truth and knew that there would be a punishment and found it to be true, excellent. I may be losing out on some things in this life because of my religion, while others benefit in this life. In this verse, I'm given what Allah promised me. Excellent. And Sister Maryam, I actually want to add to this wonderful reflection that you shared, that sometimes, to be very frank, sometimes it's the illusion of loss, like the illusion that we are losing something in this world. But then when we start to dig into the effects of many of the things that people do in this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from, we find that there's actually a protection in that, so that we're not actually losing anything, subhanAllah. The promise of Allah is true. Should hold firm in that belief of the outcome, Jannah or Jahannam is true, excellent. Don't change for your own benefit. Once convinced of the truth, cope with all the insults and crises that will follow. Yes, when you accept Islam, know that there will be people who insult, people who mock, people who try to make you wonder and doubt. Rishad, excellent, excellent. Expand your knowledge of Islam so that you're not falling for these doubts and developing these doubts. Excellent. Allah is just. When we follow the path of Allah, it is to our own benefit. Excellent. Don't put dunya in your heart. Excellent. Keep it in your hands. You're in control. Important to have good company to keep your iman high. Absolutely. Change the religion to meet your own personal expectations. Yes, when people start to change, subhanAllah, I assume that's what you meant. Okay. When people start to do that, they basically start to conform Islam to their desires rather than their desires to Islam. From Aqidah. So the main thing here, the promise of Allah. The promise of Allah. One of my favorite themes in the entire Quran is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mentioned in the last ayah, ayah 43, and mentioned in ayah 44 as well. That we found what Allah promised us to be true. think of the feeling. Excellent example, Sister Maryam. I see what you're saying. Yes, we are going to be left out of social gatherings and work opportunities, corporate opportunities, connections and networking because of these situations. You're absolutely right. May Allah bless you and reward you. Allahumma ameen. This world is a mirage, and holding up the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only way to guidance, excellent truth, and Jannah. Don't have bitterness in your heart. If someone treats you with this condemnation, know that Allah will punish them. Wonderful. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Do you believe the promise of Allah? That's what it is. The promise of Allah. So in the month of Ramadan, I've given many examples of this. And anyone here who's attended Tafsir Surah Ar-Rum when I taught it earlier this year, for any of you who were attending, you remember that it was about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was one of the main themes. Yes, Sister Raghad, alhamdulillah, many others who are here. So we're talking about the promise of Allah. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how often we think about it and deal with it on a daily basis. So when you're doing an act of worship, when you're about to pray, pray iman and wahtisaban. Think about what? There's a promise from Allah with the salah that I will be safe on the day of judgment, that I will be guarded, that I will be protected, that this will benefit me, that I will need this. When you're reading Quran, there's a promise of Allah. When you're seeking knowledge, a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will elevate your ranks and cause you to be forgiven and protect you and make Jannah easier for you. So there's a promise of Allah in many things, right? And the devil comes to people, try to make them wonder and doubt these promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to persevere. You will see the results of that. You will see the results of that. Sister Samia says, I'm sick of hearing you only live once. Excellent, right? You only live once in a dunya and then you're resurrected eternally. Excellent. Jannah is where the eternal vacation will be for you and your family, inshallah. Wonderful. One of the scholars of the past was working so hard. His son asked him, when will you relax? We'll relax when we enter Jannah. The believer truly relaxes in Jannah. Excellent. And there, inshallah ta'ala, you can enjoy all the vacations that you want. If you want to fly, you want to teleport, you want to fight somebody else with like the biggest sword in Jannah, go for it. Yesterday we had a qiyam at the masjid. Somebody asked this funny question. If everyone in Jannah has whatever they desire, what if two people desire the same thing? Like somebody desires to have like, I don't know, the biggest sword in Jannah. And the other person's like, well, I want the biggest sword in Jannah. Who gets it? Allahu A'lam. You're just going to have to wait and find out, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe whoever has a higher level in Jannah. Or maybe both of them will think they have the biggest sword in Jannah. And they'll be happy, alhamdulillah. They can fight it off over there. Sister Maryam, go ahead. I see that you've raised your hand. Would love to hear your comments, inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum. I just have one quick message, and that is, I always go with anything worth having in this life is worth fighting for. So, for example, if you want a successful job, you have to work hard. You have to pass your exams. So everything that we implement in this life, if we just apply it to the to our kind of our final outcome, inshallah, in Jannah, that's kind of what makes me keep going. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. And subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for that. That's precisely what we are supposed to do, to link everything we're doing here to the destination there. Decision here, destination there. Decision here in terms of what your actions, everything you're sacrificing, everything you're doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hard work, it's not always easy. By definition, it's hard. It requires sabr and perseverance, but there's an end result there that is so worth it. So it keeps us moving forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. That's a wonderful reflection. I see Sister Raghad, your hand is up as well. Go ahead, inshallah.
Forgive me, I'm kind of sick, so my voice is not that great. But I just wanted to say, I was recently listening to some tafsir, and the sheikh was saying that how this life is really the death, and the next life is your eternal life. That's why they say, يَلَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي, because this isn't your life. Your life is the next life. So that's why you say, I wish I did something for my real life, because that's your real life. This isn't your real life. So this is just kind of, you're just living as if you're dead. You're not really living. It's the next life that you're actually living in. So that's what I'm saying.
Jazakumullah khair, and Sister Raghad, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a complete shifa. Allahumma ameen, and for all of our brothers and sisters. Allahumma ameen. We know, subhanAllah, that people who reject life after death, when they finally are resurrected and are being held accountable, yes, they'll say, this is my life now, right? They'll refer to the afterlife as the true life. That's why the Prophet said, there is no life except for the life of the hereafter. There's no true living except for the living of the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts attached to the eternal life, Allahumma ameen, and so that we are productive in this world as well. I saw earlier, somebody mentioned, Sister Aisha, wonderful comment here. There's a somewhat subliminal message to be mindful of our company in Ayah 44. The companions of paradise are talking to the companions of the fire, so people with similar characteristics will be together. Absolutely. Jazakumullah khairan, wonderful. That's why the collective, the community, companionship is so crucial in this life, because it does help us in many different ways. And I know we all know this. Just a reminder that we need to work together, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and bless us. Allahumma ameen. I see Sister Farhia has her hand up. Go ahead, inshallah.
I also have a quick question. So I work in the mental health field, and being a therapist and whatnot, there's also the individuals that I work with who are struggling with the religion, who are, like, you know, always having doubts, who actually just may even have stopped in general practicing the religion. So how do we support individuals like that who are struggling with mental health at the same time struggling with their imams, their religion? How do we support them so that they come back to the religion itself?
Jazakum khair, Sister Farhia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your work and reward you for everyone that you help. Allahumma ameen. In short, every case is different. Every case is different. As you know, of course, since there are a number of different potential mental illnesses, the responses and the treatments will be different. Some will require psychotherapy, some will require work with a therapist, and some will require simultaneous work with a therapist and with a scholar. So many of the cases that come to me are individuals who go to therapists and psychologists, and at the same time, they have questions about, let's say, the problem of suffering. And I'll be very frank about this following point. In many of the cases, when we treated the question of suffering and we talked about Qadr and we talked about who Allah was, it impacted them positively and benefited them in many ways in terms of the other struggles that they had. So for some of these individuals, their sadnesses or their depression or many other things that they were experiencing were linked to some issue that they had with belief. It was intertwined. It was not disconnected. And of course, there are other cases that are not like that. But I would say it depends on the case, depends on the individual. We want them, inshallah ta'ala, to find the help that they need. If they have doubts, it's being taken care of in one area. For example, you might recommend them to Lighthouse Mentoring with Sapience Institute. Sapience Institute does this one-on-one counseling. When it comes to doubts, I would recommend, I would refer people to that, inshallah ta'ala. And they are all also trained in counseling, and they would recommend and refer people to psychologists if they are in need of that. Inshallah ta'ala. So every case is different, in short. Barakallahu feekum. This is a wonderful question, and the work that you're doing is really, really important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you and all of your loved ones. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khairan for that. Let's move on to the next ayah, inshallah ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this conversation that begins. And then you have what? A description. Ayah 45. الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ Those who are they? Those who hindered others from the path of Allah. They try to mislead others. And they used to strive to make it appear crooked. They disbelieved in the hereafter. Okay. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ And they rejected belief in the akhirah. Question to all of us here. What is the impact of belief in the akhirah, the belief that you have of life after death? How does it impact you in this world? How might it impact you on a daily basis? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all an accepted Eid. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum. For those who have to leave. Sister Dr. Gina, go ahead, inshallah.
I think I would be more grateful. Just in general, just more grateful and wanting to, like, be more supportive of everyone else in my community. So, you know, because to me, it feels like this is a team sport and we can all work together for Jannah. Alhamdulillah.
That's amazing, mashallah. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khairan. That's a wonderful reflection. SubhanAllah, the gratitude that we can take from belief in the akhirah and knowing that we were created for a purpose and that there's meaning in life and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah and all of that. Something that should keep us moving forward and also working together as a community. Jazakumullah khairan, wonderful reflection. Sister Zainab from Singapore, go ahead, inshallah.
Okay, I think, assalamu alaikum. I think believing in the unseen, the akhirah itself, it's not an easy task. It is really, it takes a lot of trust in Allah. And it's kind of, you got to reaffirm yourself that, you know, I'm working for the next life. And sometimes things that happens in our life here in this world can be overpowering, overwhelming, and it may cause us to lose that path. But, you know, when we are assured as believers that, okay, this is temporary, I got to get my game going for the next world, then it affirms us and it keeps us there guided. And whatever happened, whether we feel it's good or bad, we always think that Allah has good for the believer. So that belief keeps us going.
Wonderful. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you. Excellent feedback and insight. We benefit from belief in the akhirah by continuing to move forward, by having strength, resilience, motivation, knowing that this is part of the journey that we are all experiencing, that this is part of the purpose of life, that there's a reason that we are here. And in addition to this, it protects us from doing the wrong things. It helps us to become better people because you know there's accountability, you know that there's a reward. So you're doing the right things today for the right compensation tomorrow for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know there's accountability in the next life. As many of you have stated in the comments, you become more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what I'm going to be doing here, I'm not going to delve into, of course, this entire passage. We wouldn't have time. We'll be here for the next few days. But I want you to think about this passage right here, long after we finish our session, inshallah ta'ala. The conversations with the people of the A'raf, these are the people who are not in paradise or in the hellfire. And they are looking at people they recognize in both, and they are hoping for paradise. And they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise as well. And then the people of the hellfire call out to the people of Jannah. So fast forward to ayah 50. وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The people of the fire will call out to the people of Jannah and say, aid us with some water or any provision that Allah granted you. And they will respond, Allah has forbidden both, meaning the water and everything else for the disbelievers. Now, in this ayah, there is actually a proof about the virtue of water in this world and helping people when it comes to water. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told a man who came to him and said that his mother had passed away, should I give charity on her behalf? He said, yes. What is the best of charities? Saqiyul ma, saqiyul ma. So in a different hadith that we talk about, suqiyul ma. So it is to give water to someone who is in need. You're saving lives. Some of the tabi'in would say, man kathura dhunubuhu fa'alayhi bi suqiyal ma. Whoever has a lot of sins, whoever feels like they want to repent to Allah, then let them engage in as many opportunities to give people water. And Allah has forgiven the one who gave water to a thirsty dog. So how about the one who gives water to a human being or to a believer or to a muwahid, to someone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the scholars, Sheikh Salman al-Awda, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for him and release him from prison and allow him to go back to his family safe and secure and allow the ummah to benefit from him. He said, al-ma, water, nisful rizq, is half of provisions. Because in this ayah, this is tadabbur right here and reflection at a deep level. You notice that they are asking for either water or mimma razaqakum Allah, or whatever Allah has provided to you, whatever Allah gave you, but both are prohibited for them. Now, in this life, the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was accessible to them. Water was accessible to them. The truth was accessible to them. They rejected it. What did they do? Here are their characteristics. Earlier in the story of yourself, the story of your family, the story of you in the Quran, we talked about the traits of the believers. Here you have the opposite in ayah 51. These are the people, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهُوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. They took their faith as amusement and play, and they were deluded by this worldly life. And as they forgot Allah, فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا. As they ignored it, nasu does not mean literally forgot, but rather neglect, ignore, I don't care. This is the type of person who you reach out to and you say, like, let's talk about faith, let's talk about religion, I want to give you advice, let's go to the masjid. I don't care, I don't want to. And you try. They reject the revelation. They reject Allah. They reject the day of judgment. So they are accountable for their actions. So a question for you at a personal level, even for the believers, is there something that you take as amusement and play and it's deluding you in this life? It's distracting you because you want to think about it so that you change, inshallah, so you're more aware. Because for these individuals, they took this life, لَهُوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. They were distracted by this world. So we want to be very cautious. My phone, definitely. Excellent, Dr. Jean. I mean, Allah Ta'ala bless you. I think many people can relate to that. YouTube, okay, excellent. Manila, your career, excellent. For many people, it's their work, their phone, devices, the internet, TV shows. Be cautious, be cautious, be cautious. Kids, alhamdulillah, entertainment, family. May Allah protect us and allow us to utilize the things that we have for His sake. So family, children can all be, inshallah ta'ala, acts of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Social media, excellent response. Yeah, anything and everything if you allow it. Excellent. Nasheen, excellent. Jazakumullah khairan. Family duty, social media, friends and colleagues. Excellent. What does it mean for a person to take the religion as a distraction or amusement? To clarify, oh madam, they're not taking the religion as a distraction. They're taking the religion lightly, meaning they are rejecting it. It's that they looked at it as, oh, it's not important. It's just play. It's just amusement. And they were deluded by this worldly life. So they rejected it, in other words. We're talking about here for the believer to be cautious. Yeah, it could be shopping, could be wealth, Xbox, video games, could be anything, right? We want to be very cautious. Now, everything that was mentioned here could be permissible, and you're not rejecting Islam. It's not like you're taking Islam as a light thing. No, this is about the disbelievers in this ayah. But we want to try to personalize our own, inshallah ta'ala, reflections and from this ayah and interpretation as well, in terms of the things that delude us, the things that distract us, the things that take us away from acts of worship. So that inshallah ta'ala, even when we are in moments of leisure and entertainment with family, that we are doing what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, if you were to delve into this passage with your family, and I urge you to consider this a homework assignment, a closing homework assignment as we finish, inshallah ta'ala, Ramadan 360 and Quran reflections, take this one passage from ayah 43 to approximately 54. And so that you can continue with Quran reflections, inshallah ta'ala, long after this session, is to discuss this with your family. If you have family with you, inshallah ta'ala, discuss this with your family, with your friends, if not, maybe with somebody you met online. Again, it's Suratul A'raf, Surah 7, verse 43. Surah 7, verse 43. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and reward you and grant us all the highest levels of Jannah. If you want to have a positive conversation in Jannah, if you want to be amongst the people in paradise who are interceding for other people, then work for it here in this life. Conditional, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. Bima kuntum ta'malun, with what you used to do. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year consistently and think about the promise of Allah, life after death, and constantly work for it. And as you try to, inshallah ta'ala, internalize that, make sure it's affecting your actions, your habits, your productivity, your growth, your seeking of knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you call upon Him. Just remember, decisions now, destination later. Decisions now will have an impact later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. We do need to leave some time, 5 minutes or so, to make dua. For the person who has been messaging the same question maybe 30 or 40 different times, I apologize for not answering, but we had to finish first the Quran reflections. The answer to your question is no. You would not be praying prayers on behalf of somebody else. Jazakumullah khairan. Let's move on, inshallah ta'ala, into our dua. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Closing dua, bidding farewell to Ramadan. Bismillah. By the way, for those who are writing down that gem of decisions now, destinations later, keep an eye out, inshallah ta'ala, for one of our newest courses coming soon, bi'idhnillah. Decisions and destinations. I mean, I think some of you have already heard about it, alhamdulillah. We have the new course, the final destination that I'll be teaching, inshallah, about paradise and hellfire. It's a fusion seminar. So you'll hear more about it when it comes to your city, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Maybe later this year in the UK, inshallah ta'ala. For now, we are starting it off in the US, inshallah, and then it's coming to the UK, bi'idhnillah.